Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As a customer, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of John according to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. The Gospel according to John. Chapter 14. Can we start from the verse 16? And I would ask the Father, and he would give you another advocate who will never leave you. Can you give me the amplified version of this? And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Hallelujah. Let's move to the verse 26. Let's move to the verse 26. But the comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Hallelujah. Our second reading, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, the verse 26 to 27. The prophet Ezekiel. And a new heart, will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall heed my ordinances and do them. Hallelujah. Our last reading that we are going to take together is in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the verse 1. Are we all ready for Hebrews chapter 1? Are we all ready? Let's go back to the New King James Version, okay? Let's go back to that place. The New King James Version, very important. Hallelujah. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. The verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. I thought we are reading together. Shall we take it together again? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Let's go. God, I can't hear you. Let's go. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. We can end it there. Hallelujah. As it pleases the Lord, we still continue on the matters of anointing, which our team or our main series is Are Thou Anointed? We are still on the sub-series concerning anointing, and this will be the last message on concerning anointing as a sub-series. And today, we want to continue on this, the second part of Anointed with the Holy Ghost. So last 2 weeks, we handled anointed with what? Holy Ghost. Quick recap. Last week, our focus for last week was to establish the concept anointing with regards to what it means to be anointed. So last week, we were trying to define the anointed. That was the focus of anointed. And in that regards, we looked at two aspects of it. Number one, the first was we speak about the three attributes of an anointed person. I hope you remember that. And they said that the first attribute is that an anointed person is a person or any vessel set apart from the common people or common things. Do you remember that? So the moment you say somebody is anointed, the first definition is that the person is set apart from the common people. The second thing we spoke about was that the person is given a new identity. So the person is not the same person you know. That's what we looked at last 2 weeks. And the third thing that we spoke about was that the person who has, the person who has what it takes to host and manifest God's power or presence. I hope we remember these three attributes. And I was able to prove it in the life of what? Jesus. That no matter whatever form of anointing that was used to touch you, these three things were established as an attribute. Now, the second was to also define or give a simple definition of what it means to be called anointed, which we said that to be anointed means God is with you. So the anointed person is the person who God is what? With. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, we saw that the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ with what? Holy Ghost and with point about doing good and healing that were oppressed by the devil. For God was what? With him. So he was called the anointed because God was with him. Are we all on the same page? Do you all agree to that? Good. So the anointed is the one who God is with. That was the definition. Then finally, we saw two ways by which people became anointed, which is either by oil. Do you remember that? Or either by the Holy Spirit. And we saw that in the Old Testament, it was the oil that was used to establish who was what? Anointed. And then in the New Testament, we saw that Jesus, setting the precedent for us to follow, or being the first, was anointed with what? The Holy Ghost. Are we there? Then we concluded that whosoever has the Holy Spirit is anointed because God is with such person through the Holy Spirit living in the person. What we said is that the anointed is the person that God is with. Is that not it? So if the anointed is the person that God is with and the Holy Spirit is in us, it means that he's what? With us. So every believer who is born again, anybody who is born again, is anointed. I said this is the fundamental definition of the concept of what? Anointing. If you don't get it, you cannot be able to what? Walk in anointing. Are we all okay on that side? So do you agree that you are anointed? Let me see the anointed ones over here. Let me see by hands those who are anointed. We are all anointed per this explanation. Now, today's message, we want to focus or compare or draw the differences between the anointed by oil and the anointed by the Holy Spirit. So the whole thing that I wanted to draw attention to is the weight of being anointed with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? So today, we are coming to land on that idea. Why is it that it is a very big deal that being anointed with the Holy Ghost is a weightier matter for us to look at compared to the Old Testament that they were anointed with the oil? Now, let me first of all start to establish this first ideology or first concept or lay this foundation that there is a fellowship relationship contract that God has with man. God's ideal reason for creating man was fellowship, born out of what? Relationship with him. That is why if you study scriptures very well, which I've mentioned over and over again, God's desire or the Godhead, each of them had a desire they wanted to what? Achieve in the man that they were going to create. So you found out that the father's desire was to have son-father relationship. Are you following? The son's desire was to have a bride and a groom relationship. So the Bible said we are prepared as a bride for what? The groom. So Jesus is what? Our groom. And we are what? His bride. Are you with me? So that is the kind of relationship that Jesus wanted to have with man. So when they were creating man, the whole desire of the son in the Godhead was a bride. Then the Spirit was looking for what? A temple. A temple, a place that he will what? Reside. So the Bible said, don't you know that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. So whenever you hear the concept temple, the Godhead figure who is interested is what? The Holy Spirit. Follow me very well. So he was looking for a temple to what? Permanently what? Living. Now, out of this relationship with the Godhead is the fellowship. Now, what is this whole thing about fellowship? A bond between God and man for a common interest and a shared experience. So when we talk about fellowship, the whole relationship was to lead to what? Fellowship. So the father-son relationship was to bring out what? Fellowship. The bridegroom relationship was to bring out what? Fellowship. The temple and the host and the spirit is to bring out fellowship. So what is the whole thing about fellowship? Fellowship is a bond between two people of common interest and not shared experience. What is the common interest and shared experience between God and man? The common interest is the earth. Are you with me? The common interest is what? The earth. God created man to what? Live on this earth, control this earth, have control over the earth, enjoy this earth. But God also have interest in this earth. Now the shared experience is what? Dominion. Are you with me? So God decided to share his what? Dominion mandate with us. Do you know that the earth is of the Lord? Have you heard of that scripture? And the fullness what? Thereof. So the earth belongs to the Lord. But the Bible says he has given it unto what? The sons of men. So it means that we are sharing in the interest of God. That has to do with what? This earth in terms of what? Rulership. Do you get it? So our fellowship is built on this bond, this shared interest. So because of this, in the Garden of Eden, God was coming to man to foster this relationship with him. But God's perfect form of fellowship was to live in man permanently. Now, let me explain this to you. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that in the cool of the day, God will come to man. Is that not it? It means that when God comes and whatever needs to be transpired is done, God leaves. So in the Garden of Eden, there was no any defined permanent what? Communication or relationship with God and man. God comes. It was a one-way traffic. God comes. Whatever he has to do with man is done. God goes back. That is what the Bible said. Do you understand? But if you look into scripture, you find that God's idea or God's ideal reason is that he will have a permanent what? Flow of what? Communication, fellowship with man. And how is that possible? Is that he's able to what? Reside in man. Are you following me? Are you with me? So with that, there could be what? A two-way communication line. Can we move on? So this perfect fellowship and relationship building was a journey God has to take with man to complete the creation process of man. To complete the God's creation process of man. So now this is what happened. The man that God created and placed in the Garden of Eden was a perfect man, but not a complete man. I'm going to explain to you. I'm going to lead you why anointed with the Holy Ghost is a very key thing. The man that God created in the Garden of Eden was what? A perfect man, but not a what? A complete man. Now follow me. Why I'm going to say that? The reason being that the desires of the Godhead was that at the end of the day, they can permanently what? Live in man. In John chapter 4, before Jesus said that, he that loves me, he'll keep my commandments. Then I will be in him, and the Father and I will come and be in what? In him, and the person what? Be in us. So you see that the Godhead desire has always been to what? Reside in man what? Permanently. But as at the time of the Garden of Eden, we found out that God was not living in man. Are you following me? God was not living in man. That is why it was never mentioned in scriptures that God ever lived in man in the Garden of Eden. This is because man was a perfect creation, but not a complete creation as per God's model, which has to do with God living in man through the Holy Spirit. And to establish perfect fellowship what? Model. So Ezekiel chapter 36, God revealed that intention. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26 again. So in the Garden of Eden, man was what? A perfect creation, but not a complete. Are we on the same page? And a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So he said, you put out a new spirit, which is his what? His spirit. Joel 2:28. On the last day, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So God's perfect design model for the man he was creating, or the man they intended to create. Let us make man in our own image and likeness. The complete model is that at the end of the day, the spirit of God will be living in that man. So until the spirit comes to live in the man, the job was not done. So in the Garden of Eden, man was perfect but not complete. Now, this God's design model for a perfect man is the one who his spirit will come upon and remain permanently by living in such man's spirit. That man will have both Zoe and Ke. I'm going to explain to you. Now, there are two kinds of life that is available for every man creature. The first one was given to us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of what? Life. Do you see the word there? The spirit of what? Life. And man became a living being. Church, are you with me? This life is called Kei. This is the actual spirit of what? Man. The Bible calls it, for there is a spirit in man. And it is the candle of the Lord that he used to set the innermost being. So this is called Kei. This is not the spirit of God. So in Genesis, when God created man, the spirit God breathed into man. Most people think that it's the spirit of God, not the spirit of God. It is the spirit of what? Man. It's the spirit of what? Man. That God breathed into him. So that he becomes a living what? Being. Other translation said a living what? Soul. But that is not the complete life God wants man to have. This life here is not eternal. But God created man to be an eternal living being. So he needed something that is eternal, and that is his life. So it was a process that final life will also be given to man. Are you following me? So the complete man project that God wanted to create it is a man that has two lives. The first one, or let me say two spirits, producing two kinds of life. The first one is the spirit of man producing the life of a living soul, a natural man, living, able to what? Feel, breathe. So when that life is taken from you, you become lifeless. Anytime somebody dies, what goes out of that person is that life. You become lifeless. Your body cannot respond. That is what is keeping you here right now. That's that breath that God breathed into man. That is what is keeping you here right now, alive. When that life is taken away, you become lifeless. That life is meant for you to be able to what, live on this earth and relate. That is what makes your soul alive. That is you. So when I say Amma, because of that very life in you, you know that if I say Amma, you know you are Amma. That life is called Kain. But God didn't create you to just live for a particular time. God created man to be an eternal being. Because he created him to have fellowship with him eternally. Are you following me now? So the complete man that God intended to create was a man that had both spirit producing both lives, Ke and Zoe. So in John chapter 3 verse 16, we find ourselves, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe him will not perish but have what? An everlasting life. What about this one? Is there no life over here? The first one, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, was there no life there? And the spirit of what? Life. So, which other life was God talking about in John? That life is called Zoe. That is that one that comes from his own spirit. Are you with me now? Are we following? God. So, You will find out that in John chapter 20 verse 21, that life was given to man. Because at that point, I'll come there, but you don't go there. So as God and man was journeying towards this final stage of the completing what man will become, in Genesis chapter 3, the devil hijacked the project. He came in a form or took over the physical component of a serpent and truncated, because he knew that if he allows man to have hold of that life, what he has been seeking to have a place on this earth can never be done. So he intercepted it. So the project became corrupted. Another thing was introduced into the project. The man project. So the perfect man God created became an imperfect man with sin in him. So an imperfect man cannot have a perfect spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. So now God has to come and work. Don't forget, all this thing is built on the principle of what? Fellowship. Are you with me? Fellowship. Okay, good. Therefore, God has to now initiate an alternative by which he can be able to what? Redeem the imperfect man now, and then reconnect him and then complete him. Are you with me on this? So God has to initiate an alternative plan to get man back, to complete the creation process of man. Therefore, God's fellowship idea, which has to do with the Holy Spirit living in the spirit of man, to establish his presence, that man fellowship with him from his spirit, has to start with God engaging man from the outward to get into the inward. So the idea to complete man, where his spirit will be in man, that now he can deal with man from his spirit. Now the man is corrupted. The spirit is now corrupted. So now God has to deal with man from what? The outside towards the inside. So now God began to establish his presence. So now, are you following the anointing process? Now God began to establish his presence with the patriarch throughout altars. Now remember I told you that the anointed is anyone who God is what? With. And in the Bible, Old Testament, most of the people that God chose them and established that he is with them were confirmed by God being anointed. So how did God start it? God started with the patriarch using what? Altars. That is all the three patriarchs. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all built what? Altars. That altars were establishing the presence of God, made as God being what? With them. Anytime they don't service altars, they lose contact with God. So the altars now became an outward way of what? Engaging God. Are you following me? Good. So in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 to 8, you saw Abraham building an altar. Genesis 26 verse 25, we saw Isaac building an altar. Genesis 33 verse 18 to 20, we saw Jacob also what? Building out altars. So because man lost what God can use to engage him, now God has to use the outward means. So he started with altars. As the people of God begin to increase and it became a nation, altars were not enough. God has to add other models to help in what? Fellowship with man. Are we there? So additional point of contact to establish God's presence among them by which they can fellowship with him were what? Introduced. Hence, tabernacles and temples were built to host God's presence. So when Moses said, if your presence goeth not with us, I will what? We will not leave. The next phase, what God told Moses was what? Build a tabernacle. And when that tabernacle was built, what happened? The Bible said, and the presence of God came out. And that is how the people of Israel were called what? Anointed. Why? Because the Spirit of God came down and came to dwell on the tabernacle. Now let me ask you something. When the tabernacle was finished and the vessels were all prepared, what was the first thing that was done? The Bible said, and Moses anointed the tabernacle and the vessels therein with what? The holy oil. Do you remember we spoke about that? One of the uses of what? The holy oil. So that was to establish that God was with that very thing that they have established. His presence is there. So the presence of God was established through that principle. I hope you are following me. I'm trying to build you to a particular concept. So the presence of God was established through that. Then it moved on from the tabernacle of Moses to the tabernacle of David. Have you heard of the tabernacle of David? So you see that people have to come to that tabernacle and fellowship. I'm coming there. So as God established tabernacles and temples with them as a point of contact for his presence, if you want to communicate or fellowship with God, that is the point. Another thing that God did was that he also selected some few people, namely the priests, the prophets, or the king or judges, who through them that he can make contact with him. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Good. Very good. So, therefore, in the Old Testament, if somebody wants to minister to God, when we want to minister to God, you need a priest. So you have to bring your goat, your... Do you read the story of Eli and his sons in the book of 1 Samuel? Do you remember that story? The Bible said that whenever the people of Israel come to Shiloh to offer unto God, minister unto God, these sons of Belial will do a lot of things over there. Why? Because there was no way they were given permission in any form to make form of communication with God or minister or fellowship with God, except the things he has chosen or places he has chosen. So now, if man wants to fellowship with God because of the fallen of man, they have to come to the tabernacle. And then the priest will do that for them. Now, if God wants to minister to them, they need a prophet. So if they want to hear the voice of God, that's what those days, if a prophet speaks and it's a lie, they'll stone him to death. Because that is the only medium they can hear God. Hey, you are blessed though. Imagine it was our generation, like we are finished. Hey, that's how serious their matter was. Because the man that at that time God was dealing with was an infested man of sin. An imperfect being. Although he created imperfect, it has been affected. So God has to create an outward means of connecting to them. So if they want to hear God, they have to go to the prophet. That is where consultation came from. Today you call it counseling. I'm not saying counseling is not good, though, but this is where it came from. Now, if they want judgment against their enemies, execute judgment, exercise authority, it is the king who was doing that for them. So you see that before, if anybody comes to trouble the people of Israel and there is no king or judge to lead them, they are being dealt with. Look in the account of Judges. People will come and mess up with the people of Israel, and God has to raise the judge before they can be able to what? Exercise judgment. But today you can be in the closet of your room, lift up your voice and exercise judgment in prayer. It is because we are dealing with a different model. So the judges and the kings were the model that God gave them through which judgment and fairness were administered. Because of the thing that has happened to man. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So God has to move on to tabernacles and temple and these chosen people. So if you want to hear God, you want to do all these things, you have to go through these people. And these people were doing it on God's behalf. So all forms or means of fellowship with God was through an outward intermediaries. All forms. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it said, God in sundry times in the past spoke to the people throughout the prophets. But these days, he's speaking to us through the Son. So the fellowship purpose to which God created man, to complete man, and make man a complete being, which was intercepted. The only way God could continue flow with man was through altars, was through tabernacles, was through temple, was through priests, was through prophets, was through kings. But that was not God's ideal means for man. Hallelujah. Now, because these outward intermediaries are not God's idea or way he intends to fellowship with man, he couldn't give his spirit to them. But rather used oil as shadow or a representation of God's what? Anointing for fellowship with him. The reason why they were anointed with oil was because actually God wanted to use the Holy Ghost. That's the actual thing. But because the people are not the God method of communication with his people was not through intermediaries. He has to use oil. This oil were representing the idea of what? The Holy Spirit. So the day that God found a complete man and a perfect man whose sin is not in him, the Holy Spirit was in rush to come down. I don't know if you are following what I'm trying to say. Hence, his spirit never remained on any of them or any vessel of the anointed in the Old Testament. He came for a specific task and leave. Now, follow what I want to explain to you. Because God never designed that his communication with man will be through intermediaries, people, buildings, or anything physical, the Holy Spirit never came to remain on any of them. The first person in the Bible that the Bible said that the anointing remained on him was in the book of Luke. The book of John, sorry. And John said that, and God told him that the one who you see the Spirit will come upon and remain on him, he is what? The one. Why? Because Jesus was the only perfect person at that time whose sin didn't corrupt him. And therefore the Holy Spirit could come and what? Fall on him. That's why Jesus never had any intermediary to talk to God. That's why Jesus never had any intermediary to deal with the devil. That's why Jesus never had any intermediary to deal with anything. Why? Because the actual idea of fellowship with God, which is the Holy Spirit, came down on him. So the reason why people were anointed with oil was because they were the inferior method of God's means of communicating with people, of fellowship with people. Do you remember how I defined the fellowship with you? A bond of sharing a common what? Interest and what? Experience. Remember that? Are you following me now? Good. So, when Christ died and rose from dead, it led for the restoration and salvation of man, which God finally got the opportunity to complete the project man by sending his spirit to live in us. John chapter 20 verse 21. The day that Jesus rose from dead and appeared to the disciples, you know the first thing they did? He said, receive the Holy Ghost. So the death and the resurrection of Christ brought about whatever corruption that man has suffered, corrected it. Now the project that was hijacked and defaced has now been restored fully. Faith for purpose. Faith for what? Completeness. So Jesus said to them. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I send you. I'm sending you. Continue. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them what? Receive the what? The Holy Ghost. That was the release of the first anointing. This is how the anointing started. Now, there is no more intermediaries. There is no more intermediaries. God released his spirit. The actual, so that is why the newborn creature is the complete work of God. He's not only perfect, he's what? Complete. Thus, therefore, the Holy Spirit, according to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction, can we keep the New King James Version? Which you have received from him abides permanently in you. This anointing that Apostle John is talking about here is the Holy Ghost. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with what? The Holy Ghost. And you do not need, have you seen that? There's no more intermediaries. Are you following me now? There's no more intermediaries. So the comparison I want to do here is that in those generations that the anointed were raised with oil, they became intermediaries. And there were only few people who had that advantage. But our time, everybody has that opportunity. Nobody needs anybody. So the first form of anointing that we have received is the anointing that is to establish fellowship and enhance our relationship with God. The Holy Ghost that God has given us that represents anointing, the job is that is to enhance what? Fellowship and our relationship with God. No one will teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true that it is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in what? In him. So the reason why I said you are anointed is because you are anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the reason is that there is no more intermediary between you and God. And that is the function of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Ghost enters you, I'm talking the presence of God living in you. When he enters you, the only function that he's going to do is to establish with you God's what? Presence, by which you know God, and nobody will teach you God. That's what it means to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This form of anointing, which is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is solely for fellowship and to enhance our relationship with him. So when Paul was teaching the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, let's see what he said. There were three things he asked that should be with us. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of what? God, and the what? Fellowship of the what? Holy Spirit be with you. That word fellowship, it stands for the presence, or is as a result of the Holy Spirit. That is why we have fellowship. Now the point is that anybody who does not have the Spirit of God cannot fellowship with God. And for you to fellowship with God means that you have a relationship with him. And to have a relationship with God means that you and God is with you. You are anointed. So as you sit here, you are very anointed. You are a complete being. You are a complete being because the Spirit of God, what? Resides in you. And that is why you are called what? Anointed. Now, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit in him, or this communion with him, that is the anointing, that be anointed with the Holy Ghost, which stands for fellowship, or having fellowship with him, enhance our fellowship and relationship with him. How is it expressed? This is where it comes in. Now, here is the danger. When the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, you are anointed. But the reality of that is that we have to see certain things. Are you following me now? So, anointed with the Holy Ghost must come with certain evidences. What are they? Number one, fellowship with the Holy Spirit is him bearing witness of Christ in us by one, leading us. When somebody is anointed with the Holy Ghost, from that day, the person is led by God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. So when you say you're anointed, the anointing is not only about the demonstration of power. This is the anointing. The first form is that it works within you to bring things out. That one, the first thing is that we see that God what leads you. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? The sons of God. Do you know how we talk about leadings of the Holy Spirit? I want to ask you, every decision that you take, who influences you? We had an opportunity to share some small time with some of the students when we went on campus on Friday. I went there Thursday. So Friday, we had some time with them. Then they decided to come and see us to talk about this issue of love. Then they started talking. Then I asked them a question. Who teaches you? Or what influences your decision? Do you want me to talk to you about love from the world point of view or from scriptures? You claim you have the Holy Ghost. All you know or you think about the Holy Ghost that you claim that you have is speaking in tongues. But you have forgotten that the first point of contact with the Holy Ghost was that he's to lead you. As many that are led. The leading is simple. Who is influencing your life? Some of you, TikTok, that is leading you. All the things you are doing, it doesn't matter what everybody says. You have to go to TikTok to go and check for certain videos. Because it is not God who is leading you. Your choice of your partner has to do with certain counselors, certain videos, certain funny things you have seen, certain funny ideologies of the world. Then you come and stand here and tell me that you are anointed because you speak in tongues. You don't know what you're talking about. The first sign that you are anointed and the Holy Ghost has remained with you is that God leads you. I pray for you. You see, we said we want to talk about anointing. We want to be anointed. But we don't even understand the foundations of anointing. It's that the Holy Spirit, the fellowship with God, starting with God what? Leading you. Because if God is having common interest and share the experiences with you, he must be the one leading. Number two, God being our comforter. John chapter 14, verse 16. So when I talk about anointing, no, this is the abiding anointing. Have the anointing, I'm anointed. No. We have to look at the way we handle the anointing. Number two. Now give me the amplified version for this. And I will pray the Father and I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. Now let's look at the interpretation of that comforter. It's what? Counselor. Who counsels you? Helper. But it looks like your life is helpless. Intercessor. Somebody who speaks on your behalf. And you live like as if there's nobody speaking on your behalf. Advocate. As if you have no lawyer. Somebody to help you with legal matters of your life. Strengthener. And what? Standby. Do you know a standby? Have you heard of a standby power? Have you heard of standby? Yes. That is emergency plan in case of anything. When you indeed you are anointed, then we are expecting the comfort of what? The Holy Ghost in your life, which is expressed in the form of what? Counselor. When I talk about God counseling you, I'm not saying that a spirit will come and be talking to you. What I'm talking about is that when somebody speaks to you, you can know that this is the voice of God or this is not the voice of God. How are you able to? Have you ever received a good counsel before? And then you see that Holy Ghost told that this is not me. I didn't say this. How many of you have ever experienced that before? So let me give you an example. Jesus was with Peter. Then Peter, Jesus told him that I'm going to die. The Bible said he called Jesus quietly.
embraced Jesus. I rebuke you. God forbid that you die. Peter rebuked Jesus. Is it not good for somebody to take interest in you not dying? I'm asking, is it not a good thing? Then Jesus looked at him and said that, get thee behind me, you Satan. If it was you, wouldn't you be offended? That I am trying to keep you from being killed and I'm now Satan. Counselor. When the Holy Spirit becomes your counselor, there are 1,000 voices that will speak. By the end, you know who is God talking. You see, we are living in a world of many voices. Your parents are talking. Your pastor is talking. Your lecturers are talking. Your beloved is talking. The economy is talking. Everything is talking. The question is, who is speaking the mind of God? The reason why you cannot fail, because you, the intermediary, is using. See, this is a perfect system that cannot fail. The Old Testament, they have to rely on men. So even they lie, they have no option to follow it. Do you know how many people follow Saul to go and die? But they didn't know that Saul didn't consult God. He wanted to consult out a sorcery and told them that he should go to the battle. But because they don't have the capacity themselves to consult God, they have to follow and die. But you have been given the spirit that lives in you, that when somebody speaks, that comfort of the Holy Spirit will come out as a counselor and said, I didn't say this. So it may look so nice and so good, but it's not me. I pray for you that when we say you are anointed, you will not be thinking of only the power demonstration of the Holy Spirit, but you will be interested in the knowing of God in you through his leadings and comforts. Many believers have not been able to leave this aspect of the anointing. So you can see people who can walk in power, but they are foolish. Let me say this. So, you see that I'm so calm today? You see that I'm so calm today talking? Because this is where the foundation, practical Christian life, is this kind of anointing. Do you remember that young prophet? Who God told him that when you go here, don't eat. And another prophet came to God and said, you should eat. He didn't go to consult God. That is how many of us are becoming. Somebody can give you a good advice. Oh, there's a traveling opportunity for you. Have you asked God whether he has released you to go? I said, when I heard the story of Apostle Arome, that there was a time that he had an open door to go and preach in UK. Then he went to God in prayers. This is a big opportunity. In fact, the honorarium and things that were coming could change his ministry and everything. So he went into prayer to thank God for opening doors. Only for God to ask him that, I don't know anything about that door. And he said, God. He said, that's the day you know that God is not the only one who opens doors. He said, I have never opened any door for you, but if you want to go, you can go. Who is counseling you? I said, I've known many people who are walking in power, but they are foolish. Foolish because they don't know how to relate to the anointing within. Very essential. But I know you are not going to be one of them. That is why I'm telling you that you are anointed with the Holy Ghost, which is the presence of God living in you, as John said in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, that he will teach you all things that no one what will teach you. There is an advice Holy Ghost can give you. No one can give you that advice. I've received good advice from people. See, let me tell you, don't think that everything good is God. How many of you know that? Don't think that everything good is God. It is only the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm talking about him. It is only the Holy Spirit that can let you know that this is from God, this is not from God. And how does he do that? By counseling. Then aspect I like again. I'm still on John chapter 14, verse 16. I'm not done. In Amplified Version, the aspect I like again is the strengthener. You see, when we talk of strength, it is not in the physical display. There are many definitions of strength that people don't know. But let me tell you, the strength of the believer is in perseverance. Have you seen that everybody is going through something, but there's one person who is going through it and he looks like he's not feeling it? Let me tell you something. Do you know that The reason why some of you are able to survive Accra is not because that you are superhuman miso. You are drawing strength for someone you don't know. Hey. Also, they don't know. If what some of us have gone through, if some people go through 10%, they would have left this. They'll leave. They'll run away. Do you know why you are able to go through difficult times when others cannot even do it? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and what he's doing, that he strengthens you in the time of weakness. There are times that you want to give up and you also want to do what others are doing, but you don't know. When you go to him in prayer, some energy is drawn. Some energy is what? That energy does not come from catch, loose, break. No. You can do touch, loose, break and still go out there. Sometimes what resists us from fornicating is this strength. It's not the power to it's not the power to work. It is the strength that we draw from the inner, the presence of God. I pray for you. May God strengthen you in your time of weaknesses. See, there is a day called the day of adversity. If the strength of God is not made available for you, you are doomed. Everybody will have that day of adversity. Jesus called it the day of what? Darkness. Say, for today, the power has been given to darkness over me. If the strength of God. So the Bible said, and the angels came in and did what? They strengthened him. There could be a day that all your prayers will fail you. Everything will not work. It is that day that you will say, Lord, help me. Last time Pastor Collins was sharing his own ear. When the rain came. And he was locked over there. And everything he knew was not working. He took God's word, strength. That one, is it, that day his prayer grace didn't talk. Are you following me? It's a point. That's why it's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Anointed with the Holy Ghost. So if you said you are anointed with the Holy Ghost, let's see these things in you. The manifestations of these things, the leadings of the Holy Spirit, his comfort, your advocate. Let me move to the next thing. Another evidence of the anointing of the Holy Ghost remaining on a man who's anointed with the Holy Ghost, which is thanks for the presence of God living in that person, is that he is taught all things, teaches you all things. John 14:26. Now I want to explain this concept of teaching you all things to you. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall. Are you following? Will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. The concept of you being taught all things means that it is very difficult for the believer to make mistakes. When your teacher teaches you all, the evidence is that you hardly make mistake in what you are supposed to do. If you see a believer in a place, okay, it seems their life looks so perfect. The evidence is that the Holy Ghost has what? Taught them. It is in that our light shines so that people give glory to God. See, it is this place that people begin to give glory to God, because the kind of life we are living, it is an evidence that error is marginal. This is where we see wisdom at display. Wisdom. When the Holy Ghost teaches a person all things, you will see wisdom. The Bible said that, and David conducted himself in such a way that the people respected. See, to command respect comes from the teachings of the Holy Spirit. Have you gone to a place that the Holy Ghost rebuke you or draw your attention that don't do this, don't do this, don't do this before? Oh yeah, it happens. See, there is a way the Spirit of God can speak to you to conduct yourself around somebody that the person will respect you forever. That one is not taught in books. Do you know that? There's an instant knowledge that can come. See, when you have a good relationship with God, there is a way that you get to a place and the Holy Spirit can draw your attention to something. The word you see, the manner you act, those things, the Bible said, he teaches you all things. So the underlining is that, to what extent do you commit errors? You go to a place and your behavior, your mannerism is not different from the one who's not born again. Then who is teaching you? Because a good teacher is seen in the excellency of the student. Am I lying? If your teacher has taught you well, the evidence is the excellence that is seen in your heart. When I was teaching, okay, St. Martin is here. St. Martin, what was used to evaluate the performance of a teacher? The performance of what? The student. So if the Holy Ghost is in you and he's teaching you, we will see it in your performance. The excellency of life you are living is the evidence that Holy Ghost is teaching you. So what is, what from that loose talking, what from that attitude, stinking attitude, is that from the Holy Ghost? You didn't see this one coming, right? You didn't see this one coming, the anointing. Oh, you didn't see that one coming. There's no gift of self-control. Can I help you? The other way they call it, there's no anointing for it. There's no gift for self-control. There's no gift for, I want to use the right word. Can you take me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 20? Let me give them those things already. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy, love, self-control, peace. There is one. Long-suffering. Do you know there's no gift of long-suffering? But do you know how we are able to live this life? It's because the Holy Spirit will teach you. And when you heed to the teachings of the Spirit, and this teacher doing an experiential encounter with him, you will do these things unknowingly because he will teach you. Let your life, there is this song, Church of Pentecost, it said, let my life and everything show forth your glory. It is as a result of the Holy Ghost teaching you all things. Now the question I'm asking, that the life you are living, what are people saying about your teacher? Oh, we are anointed. You don't know that the anointing first has to affect the inner world. So that was out of your belly shall flow streams of what? Living waters. But when you open your mouth, that water that is coming, it can even kill the devil himself. Yeah, you don't know the Holy Ghost. You have not allowed him. And that is a certain thing. Jacob said that, and God is here and I didn't what? No. The Holy Spirit is living in you, but you will never know. Because it's not, no, it is not a noise. It's a stillness. Be still and then you what? You know. I pray for you. That as we are being anointed with the Holy Ghost, we will begin to reveal that character of what? That anointing. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and what? And power. It's not only power that rested on Jesus. The Holy Ghost was in him, causing him to live a life of perfection. That the Bible says he was a perfect man. Jesus was man like us, subjected to life passion. The Bible says in his days as flesh he ought, he cried unto him that is able to save. Jesus lived a perfect man like you. He didn't live in the fullness of his power as God on earth here. He emptied himself of that and took upon himself the nature of man, relied on the Holy Ghost, that he never ever lived a life that could look and talk back at God. Some of us, because of us, they insult Jesus every day. To the extent that there is a song, Unya Mizumpuni. To the extent that there's a song like that, Unya Mizumpuni. There's another one. Azori Bejinanchen. To also, you know the song I'm talking about. Today I'm not going to. That is because we have not allowed the teacher. But I pray to not be said about you. People will see you and ask you that, how come you are like this? I tell them, I have a great teacher. Let me introduce you to him. Please let people see the excellency of God's life in you and give glory to God. An incident happened during the course of the NIA. And then one of my guys was so, I said, hey, go to sleep mood. Let the Holy Ghost. See, the thing was so severe, but I was so calm. I said nothing was going on. And I was watching. I said, no. There are people looking at us. We must show them that we have Christ in us. The Spirit of God is what? In us. Teaching us what to do. I pray for you that the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you all things. I said the meaning of all things is that there is no room for error. There is marginal error in the life of the believer. You see the person and say, ah, are you also a human being? See, there's a way you live your life that your light does not blind people, but it shines so that people can say that we cannot come close to you. There are people when they see you, the way and how you carry yourself, it even puts some pressure on them to make them feel that they I don't know if you got that. It's not like you are acting some way. But when they see how you have, the way and manner you carry yourself around, they say, I want to be like you. That is my prayer for you. That people will walk to you and say that, I want to be like you. Why? Because they are seeing Christ formed in you as a result of the Holy Ghost witnessing Christ in you. That is always my prayer. That the greatest honor I have in life is that people will walk to me and tell me that I want to be like you. Because there is a teacher teaching me of life, of excellence. Hallelujah. Finally, guiding us into all truth. Guiding us into all truth. I hope you have been able to journey with me. This is what God wanted to have with Adam in the Garden of Eden. That his spirit will live in him. That spirit will lead him, teach him, guide him, comfort him. At every given moment, at every given time. Not that he will come, but that is what God wanted to have with him. And that has been God's whole journey from Genesis to Jesus' resurrection. So when Jesus resurrected and met the disciples, the first thing was introduce the Holy Ghost into them. The eternal life that you have in you is the Spirit of God living in you, causing you to live the life of God. So when we said you are anointed, it is not only in power demonstration. The anointed is first showing forth the true character and nature of God, the attribute of God, which is the presence of God living in him. Now, does he show Christ? And the reason, because you don't know, because you need to be still and what? And know. So when you talk of anointing, don't be thinking about, no, this is the last one, guiding us into all truth. John chapter 16 verse 14. John 16 verse 14. He will glorify me. That's in John chapter 16 verse 14. What was the first scripture that we read? Yeah, okay. Give me John chapter 14 verse 16. And I pray that the Father, and he would give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Can you find that scripture where the Bible said he will guide you into all truth? It's in John chapter 16. Guidance is very important in everybody's life. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's John 16, 13. Okay, give me the 13. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to what? guidance is very necessary. Do you know why? Because you don't know tomorrow. When we say the Holy Spirit guides a man, we are talking about somebody who is as though he has the ability to know tomorrow. Now, if you see the explanation, said, and he will tell you things to what? To come. The reason why you escape what will happen tomorrow is because the Holy Spirit what guided you. In other words, if the believer becomes a constant victim of life and things happening, the evidence is that the anointing within is not working. So the Holy Ghost will guide you. The whole interpretation is that you are able to have knowledge of what will happen tomorrow. The question is, do you know what will happen tomorrow? The difference between the believer and an unbeliever is that at least you have an idea of what will happen to you tomorrow. And you have been told how to go about it. When God was using intermediaries, you find out that there was a time a king in the land of Syria was plotting to what? Ambush the people of Israel on a certain path. But there was an anointed man there, an intermediary who was acting on the behalf of God. His name was Elisha. The Bible said that when the king planned that he's going to use this means, Elijah will send a message to the king of Israel. Don't go here. So one day the king called all his servants and said, tell me of truth. Which of you is on the side of the people? Which of you is on the side of my enemies? And they told him, king, let it be known to you, even if you cough in your bedroom, that man Elisha, he picks everything that you see. That is why they sent army after him to make sure that they terminate it. The way you are able to beat the devil that he cannot understand is because the Holy Spirit is what? Guiding you. I pray for you. You escape the traps of the enemy. I said you escape the traps of the enemy. See, sometimes you know how people can plan and set traps for you. Then you wake up and the Holy Spirit will prompt you. Don't go here. Sometimes you can receive a restriction yourself. Don't go. Something is happening. That is the guidance. When you begin to fall in traps, be careful. Ask yourself, to what extent is the Holy Spirit guiding you? And he shall do what? Tell you things to what? To come. This is an anointing. So people say you are very powerful. Eat what they do. Because they try to do something to you. They plan to get you in a way. Then the Holy Ghost will tell you, don't go here. Don't do this. Don't come here. You sleep and then there's an encounter. You take the word to study and God will tell you to do this. There are many people who have gotten jobs because they slept and prayed about it. And God told them to go here. I pray for you that you begin to receive Holy Ghost ideas. Let me tell you, one of the prayers I've been praying this year is that, Lord, any system that is about to make people billionaires in these coming years, from this year to 2030, any business, any idea, any opportunity that will make people billionaires, Lord, reveal it to me. You can choose to pray that prayer, but me, I'm praying it. Because he said, we shall possess, said, the inheritance of what? The begotten. Lord, anything, or you don't know, God can reveal it to you. Any opportunity, any door, any business, any skill set that is going to make people billionaire in the coming years of my generation, let it not pass me. Because the Holy Spirit what? Guide. And the guidance is that he will tell you all the things to what? You will not fail in life. I said you will not fail in life. Because you are anointed with the Holy Ghost. I said you will not fail in life because you are anointed with the Holy Ghost. And I pray for you starting from today. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you get yourself involved with, may the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I said, how God has anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. May your life be an example of how good is being done because you are anointed with the Holy Ghost. I want you to go back and begin to out engage this anointing because your anointing is there. When you are still, you will know. God wants to teach you. He wants to lead you. The Holy Spirit is there. I don't want to see you in some few years to come that mistakes that people who are not born again will not even make, you are making them. Your life can never be a failure. If you think you are going to fail in life, I said you can never be a failure. As long as you are able to respond to that anointing in you. Said he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. Can you rise to your feet? And I want us to pray this prayer. Oh, Shabarandasaya. I want us to pray this prayer. I want us to pray for the guidance of the Spirit of God today in every aspect of our life. Want us the Holy Spirit to teach us that our life will be life of excellency. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us. That's it. The one to whom we listen, who influences our life, is our leader. And we are praying for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Lord help me. Can you lift up your voice and begin to pray? I don't know which aspect you are desiring. But for me, I always pray that guide me, Lord. Guide me. Tell me what is going to happen tomorrow. Show me what is going to happen tomorrow. The essence of the Holy Ghost in me. The essence of the Spirit residing in me. The anointing that has come upon me, which is the Holy Ghost residing in me, making me a complete person, is that by the help of the Spirit, I will escape the traps of tomorrow. Oh, lift up your voice. Shanda brako vele basale. Onde vrando sende mele kunde vasanda. Oh, lift up your voice and pray. This is the secret of your rising. If you learn to utilize this anointing, this is the secret of your rising. That the things that God will begin to do in your life, people will see and say, ah, what at all? What at all has this man seen? What at all has this woman seen? What at all? What is going on? Lift up your voice and pray. God help me. That I will be still and know your presence. I will be still and know that anointing that is within me. So that out of my belly shall flow streams of living waters. Oh, God is about to give you ideas. Holy Ghost ideas. Now you understand why we have the word Holy Ghost ideas. Because that Holy Ghost ideas is born out of the guidance of the Spirit of God. He will guide you. That you will. Your tomorrow will not take you by surprise. I said tomorrow will not take you by surprise. If you lie, then the Holy Ghost. Go to him and begin to ask for guidance. And you will find out that you can never be surprised by tomorrow. You will always be ready for tomorrow. You will always be ready for tomorrow. We have always associated anointing to only power. But the presence is very essential. It is on the presence. Knowing his presence, living the attribute and the nature of God is what makes the relevance of the power. What will be the use of the power of God if you don't know what to do tomorrow? What will be the use of the power of God if you don't know what is at stake tomorrow? Oh, lift up your voice unto God. Oh, say, God help me. Oh God help me. And the brando sende. Kuvila sanda kabasonda taya. Oh radeli komba babo shata. Zende kebrando lomo kosia. Ndate brando saya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Finally, I want you to pray. That anything that is hindering your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, any struggle, may the Holy Spirit help you to break out. Any struggle, may the Holy Spirit help you to break out. This is the season that we will pursue fellowship with him. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit resides in us. This is the season that we will pursue relationship with him. Pursue fellowship with him. That we will be a bride unto the groom. We will be a temple unto the Spirit, and we will be a sanct unto the fathers. Lift up your voice and pray. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Just breathe your name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.